But Tony Kemp is kindly with us today, our sports man. Thank you for your time today, Tony. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, morena.
Nei te mihi, kia koe, Tony. Well, obviously, knives out from the GP, that's the general public, for Ian Foster, because we're not used to losing two in a row. And whilst the results for the All Blacks may be disappointing, the New Zealand Rugby Union certainly aren't going to sack him. They say they'll stand by him. What did you read into the latest couple of performances, Ireland and France, Tony?
Yeah, real interesting question that, Dale. I think, you know, it's the World Cup merry-go-round. You get this English tour where they take up a number of young players that they want to sort of blood to see whether or not they get the experience and then can kick on into the World Cup. And unfortunately for them, they come up against the South African side on the way up to the Northern Hemisphere that put the acid on them and challenged them physically and got the win in one of those test matches. And it sort of gave the blueprint for Ireland and France to go out there and beat the All Blacks. So, I don't think the All Blacks will sack Foster. I think that he's you know, it's not their style to go out and sack a coach. I think he'll be there for the duration. But one of the things that it did point out as far as the physicality of the All Black brand, I think has taken a massive hit. I think there is a blueprint there that if you challenge the All Blacks up front, you get physical, you get in their faces. Yes, they can score some long-range tries, but as we saw against France, they tend to panic a little bit and lost that game territorially and also with the possession. And I think some big gaps need to be filled between now and that World Cup, Dale. And the other part I don't think anyone's really spoken about is the aura that the All Blacks used to have is gone. I think teams now, when they face the All Blacks, especially after this tour, and they're not going to feel as scared because you're generally beaten before you get on the football field. So big gaps to fill, I think, between now and the next World Cup.
His coaching style is, you've coached at the highest level too. Is there something you could pinpoint that identifies his style, or do you think that he's trying to emulate a coaching style of others?
Oh, look, I think he is emulating a style. I don't think it's more of a coaching style. You know, you've got to understand that the modern game these days, you don't have the Grizz Wileys who's an out-and-out coach. You have a coaching team. He would have a staff of thousands, a cast of thousands to support him, from scientists that do data entry to the physical well-being, the mental well-being of the players, to defensive coaches, offensive coaches, kicking coaches, and the list goes on. So I know that a few people have been saying that he's just doing what Steve Hansen did, but did Steve Hansen do what Graham Henry did? You know what I mean? I think that conversation isn't really worth the salt that people are talking about because they don't understand the structures. What is missing, and one of the things that should be looked at, is in the previous two under-20, I think it's the under-20 World Cups, New Zealand have been beaten and beaten quite convincingly, and these players are starting to filter through into the international stage at senior level, whether it be England, France, Ireland, or even the All Blacks. And when you're beating teams in that 20s level and you're going through to the next level, knowing that you've sort of lost that invincibility tag, I think that's what we're sort of seeing now. Players, especially France, see some of the tries they scored. You know, you never throw caution to the wind against the All Blacks, but they felt that they could do that and they got away with it. And to get a score like that against the All Blacks isn't a great way to end this tour. And unfortunately for Ian Foster, he has to wear that now by the public because it's the highest profile game in our country. You know, it's the fabric of New Zealand.
It used to be like a religion, didn't it, rugby? But it's not anymore. You're not seeing the kids turning up playing rugby. You've got mums who want to protect them and they're playing with round balls. And also, you know, while they might pump some into first 15 rugby, the reality is that participation rates have slumped for a whole lot of reasons. But there's been some criticism that NZR have really just focused on the elite. Numbers are down in the local comps. Club footy has really suffered. In fact, you know, you and I grew up in a time when you know, rugby was like a god to New Zealanders, but the shine certainly come off now. What would you say of where it's positioned as a sport, and what would you predict for the future of the game?
Well, I think under the current landscape, as you know, in the grassroots arena, our club land is suffering. You know, I guess that's a big argument around industry, Dale, in those rural towns back in the day. Like, you know, growing up in Waitara, we had the Subaru car factory, we had Swandry there, Tegel factory, Borthwick's, Motunui Methanics, the gas plants. And, of course, with all that money that was generated through your towns, every club that was there, from your badminton to your bowling to your basketball, your boxing, your rugby league, kids were out playing sport all the time. And rugby, like you said, was our true religion. You played rugby on a Saturday and you fit all the other sports in and around it, and that just doesn't happen anymore. And I think what we've seen over probably the last three decades is that decline in talent that's been coming through. And not more so that teams are catching up. It's that the decline in our ability to produce countless numbers of quality players in every position. If you look at the All Black side now, they're struggling for outside backs. Where is the next Richie McCaw? Where is our next Kieran Reid? You know what I mean? And I think that is the All Blacks' problem at the moment. If that's happened in the last three decades, what's going to happen in the next three decades? The New Zealand, you know, do what Australia are doing at the moment and have to really reconsider their branding and how they're going to rebuild that player depth. And I think that's a massive issue for New Zealand, especially for our rugby team.
Thanks very much, Tony. Look, I appreciate you taking the call at short notice, but always with interesting whakaaro to share. Look forward to catching up with you next week, mate. All the best.
Awesome. Talk soon.
Thank you, Tony. Tony Kemp with us, sports commentator.